Okay, Parshas Baalotzcha. The Rebbeinu B'chai begins with the Pasuk in Mishlei, Perikud Gimel, Pasuk Tes, Or Tzadikim Yismach, V'nei Rishayim Yidach, which means the light of the Tzadikim is happy, and the candle of Rishayim gets blown out. So, extinguished. So the Rebbeinu B'chai explains that the Rasha is compared to a Ner, because a Ner, as soon as it runs out of Shemen and Psila, as soon as it runs out of oil, it's going to be snuffed out. And that is as soon as the body stops existing. In other words, the Ner is not its own light, it just carries oil and wick. As soon as the oil and wick are gone, there's no more. There's just a candle holder left, and that's it. Because the Rishayim, all they're into is their bodies. And as soon as the body's gone, no more happiness, no more nothing. Whereas the Tzadikim, the light of Tzadikim is happy. Means it keeps growing because it can, and he says the lashon it's their schar, because the lashon of simcha means it gets more ruach hakodesh, it expands in hasaga. So he says because tzaddikim do serve Hashem with simcha, therefore the midah of simcha goes on them. They get ruach hakodesh, and it makes their neshama continue forever. Also, he says. Obviously, Or is connected to Hashem, and Hashem doesn't need our light. Hashem created light. But we are given the mitzvah to bring, to do the menorah, to bring light into the Ohel Moed and the Beis HaMikdash, not because Hashem needs it, because Hashem doesn't need our light. Obviously, He created light, but rather to give us the mitzvah, he quotes a medrash, to give us kavod to the umos, that we, so to say, look like we're giving light to Hashem. And also it's necessary for the kavod habayis. A house without lights doesn't look nice, so it's for the kavod habayis, but it's not because Hashem needs the light. But when speaking about Hashem and light, so he says that there's a pasuk that says Yashes Choshech Sisro, it sounds like Hashem, there's darkness by Hashem. He says that just means we can't be masik Hashem, we can't understand Hashem, because we have a body, and our chumrius, our physicality, stops us from understanding Hashem. And that's what he says this pasuk means. Hinei zeh omed achar kaslina, that we all know. Hinei zeh omed achar kaslina mashkiach min achalonos mitzvos min charakim. Rebbeinu B'chai had said before in an earlier parsha that refers to the kosel in the Beis HaMikdash, that Hashem is inside the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem is behind our kosel, meaning the kosel damaravi, the kosel that remains. But he says here it means Hinei zeh omed achar kaslina, that our body is the kosel. Our body is like this wall that separates us from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's the Kosel. Hashem is Omid Achar Kosel. Okay. Anyway, so that's obviously talking about the menorah, is why he starts this way, and talks about the mitzvah of bringing the menorah, of lighting the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. And he says that you won't find, interestingly, in the pasuk it mentioning the word Ohel Moed, which it often does. And here it says Baaloscha Saneros Amulpnei Menorah, whatever. It never mentions Ohel Moed. So he says the reason it doesn't say Ohel Moed is because you might think, if it said Ohel Moed, that we only have the mitzvah of menorah in the Ohel Moed because there were no windows in the Ohel Moed. However, there are windows in the Beis HaMikdash, and there you might think that we don't need. We don't need the menorah, therefore the pasuk doesn't mention Ohel Moed to let you know that the mitzvah applies everywhere. And he brings a pasuk in regarding the windows in the Beis HaMikdash, that we know the windows in the Beis HaMikdash were narrow on the inside and getting fatter as it goes outside, as if to show that the light of the menorah shines out to the light of the Beis HaMikdash shines out to the world and not the other way around. It's not like we have a window in the Beis HaMikdash so that the sunlight could come in. It's Hashem doesn't need the sunlight, it's the light of the Beis HaMikdash goes out. And he says that it's hinted to in a pasuk in Yecheskel, which is fascinating, in Yecheskel, Perek Mem, pasuk Chafei. It says, V'chalonim lo la'alamav saviv saviv kehachalonos ha'ela. So what does he mean, kehachalonos? It should have said kehachalonos ha'ela. The extra hey is a remez that the chalonos HaMikdash looked like a hey. You like that? Chalonos of the Beis HaMikdash looked like a hay, means there's that little thing to come in and the broad thing out. But that's the way the chalonos looked. Narrow on the inside, fat on the outside. Now the pasuk says that Amul Pnei HaMenorah Ya'iru Shiva Saneros. Facing the menorah, the seven candles will burn. Rebbeinu B'chai says, it shouldn't have said seven, it should have said six. because El Mul Pnei HaMenorah, facing the center menorah, there aren't seven, there are six facing the center menorah. The center one is the one itself, is its own candle, is the seventh. It's the six facing the inside, facing the middle. So what does it mean that the seven candles will face the center? Should be six. So he answers, gives a couple answers, but one is an interesting one that he says, because the menorah down here is connected the menorah in Shemayim, then others in the Beis Hamikdash Shemayim. There's this concept of a menorah. Again, this is all, I understand exactly what this means. It's some concept of a menorah in Shemayim. So the seven candles down here are mul pnei the menorah upstairs. That's the idea. Now, we know there were a couple of things that Moshe had a hard time with. So that is, one of them was the menorah, and Hashem had to show him what it looked like. And it's called miksha. So the Medrash says miksha is, teaches us, it means to say, ma kasha asiyasa. It's difficult, and we know he had a difficulty, the Medrash tells us, with the, with four things, the menorah, karban, the shkalim, right, all these things Hashem had to show him, and the kiddush halavana, the moon. And that's osios miksha, which are menorah, karban, shkalim, hachodesh. Okay, that's a remnant to the four things that Hashem had to help Moshe out with. And menorah was one of them. Getting on, moving on to Pesach Sheni. So here we, in this week's parasha, we talk about Pesach Sheni. So the Rabbeinu Bechai asks, why is it that it was considered? There doesn't seem to be anything bad that Moshe didn't know about the Pesach Sheni. Whereas by Benos Tlafchad, it doesn't sound that way. By Benos Tlafchad, when they came to ask Moshe a question about the Yerusha, and he had to ask Hashem, so there Chazal tell us it was a punishment. Why did he not know this? Because he said, relatively speak to Moshe's level, a way of Gaiva, Hadavar Asher Yekshem Mikem Takrivo Elai. Moshe said, if the Dayanim don't know something, tell it to me. So as a punishment for that, he had to forget something and not know something. We don't find that by Pesach Sheni. What's the difference? So he answers that Benos Tzalavchad was more of a Gnai, because that's something Tali Besvara, that if there are no boys, should it go to the girl? Well, in the Gaish world, it goes to the girl if there's no boys, even in the olden days. It's Davar Tali Besvara, so that was more of a Gnai that Moshe didn't know, as opposed to Pesach Sheni, who says there should be such a thing. So that was not considered a Gnai. And the Torah tells us about the Jews traveling in the desert, and it says, that they stopped, they went, and it says, O Yomam Valayla. So the Rabbeinu B'chai's Medayik doesn't say O Laila V'yom, it says O Yomam Valayla. And he says that tells us that they would never start traveling by night. And that was from the Chastei Hashem, that Hashem would never make them to start travel by night. That's why it always says Yomam, it only says Yomam Valayla, as opposed to Laila V'yom, which is how in Judaism things work. Laila comes first. But it did not say that, because Hashem never made them travel at night. That was one of the Chastei Hashem. And they traveled at night. They didn't start travel at night. So there was no waking up at 2 in the morning to start traveling ever. It was always in the daytime. Okay, and then it tells us that when there was time for them to gather together, they blew the Chatzrosros. That was the tekiah for them to get together. Two for everyone to get together. One for the Nasim to get together. And a trua when they would go. So he says, because tekiah is Midas Harachamim. Good to know for Rosh Hashanah. As it says, Yado Pshuta Lakabel Shavim, right? Because a Tekiah is a Pshuta. That's a hint to Rachamim. That's why Tekiah is Midas HaRachamim. So when it was just coming time to get together, they blew a Tekiah. But Trua is Midas HaDin. And that's why, that's what you blow when you go out to war. And therefore, whenever they would go, since they were on their way to the Eretz Yisrael to destroy the seven nations, so they blew a Trua when it was time to go. So if you're ever, if you remember those pictures of Rabbi Gurin in the Six-Day War, blowing truas, I guess he knew this. Anyway, next it says that Moshe tried to convince Yisro to stick around, because he says, "V'hayisa lanu le'inayim," you'll be for us for eyes. What does that mean? So he says, Unkelis, the Rabbi Mechai points out that Unkelis says that the Gavrindis avda lana chazina beinach, it means you will be for our eyes, means you saw everything that happened. What does that mean to say? Rabbeinu Bechai says, you will be for us for eyes, meaning you'll be an aid for us in front of the Gayim to everything that happened, because Yisro came from the Gayim. So he would be an aid that all the things that the Jews said was true. He's the one who saw all the Nisim, so he could give testimony that it was true. He also gives another pshat that they would be happier to have those who didn't have much emunah. They were happy to have someone else there guiding them. It's hard a little for me to understand that pshat, but that's what he says. That the ketana, it was he would say, "You'll be for us for eyes," meaning to show us the way, because the people who don't have emunah would rather see someone who can guide them. Okay. Anyway, it says. Okay, next we have the story of the Vayimid Zoharon, that the Jews run away from Har Sinai, as I'll tell us. Katina Kabarech, maybe I should say for. So we have the Vayimid Zoharon, and it's in between, it's considered a hefsek between the stories, Rabbeinu Bechai explains, because they were afraid to leave Har Sinai, like the Pesukim before I talk about. Because it was relatively close to Yishuv, and they were afraid to go into the desert. And he says the reason why we had to be mafsik with this story, with this Vayhi ben Zoharon, that's because they were going into the Midbar, like we said, that was really one story. This is Rabbi Machai saying they were upset because they were going into a Midbar, and then they started complaining about things. So he says that they were when a person, but we had to be mafsik with this Vayimid Zoharon, is because when you go into the Midbar, you see mountains. And he says people, when they see mountains, as Rabbi Bechai says, start thinking that the world existed forever, because they see mountains. They look at it, it's like, okay, the world must have existed forever. So he says people think when they see it, and therefore when you go out to the Midbar and to the mountains and you see things like that, it had to let you know that you see Hashem is the one who does miracles for you in all the battles, so then you should remember that there's one Hashem running the world. That's what he says. And it says that the Jews were kimis onanim, like complainers. He says that means that they were quiet about it. They weren't loudly complaining. They were like grumbling and not happy about it inwardly. But it's Hashem who knows that they were complaining, and that was a tain on them. They should have been happy to go where Hashem sent them. Also fascinating, he says that the word, when they complain, they say, "We remember the Daga." So he said, the Rabbeinu Bechai says, the Mitzrim didn't give them the good stuff. They gave them all the leftover garbage. And he says, Daga means old rotten fish. Whenever you have the word Dug, it means fish. Daga, with a head, it means old rotten fish. Like it says, by the Makos, by Maka of Dam. Daga sher bayor mesa vayivash hayor. So it says the Daga, there it says Daga with a hay, became rotten. Whenever you have it dug with a hay, it means rotten and gross. So they were remembering the daga, but it was the gross daga that they remembered. They still wanted that because they got it chinam. What does chinam mean? We know Chazal tell us chinam in amitzos. So he says, interestingly, that it's that's what Pasuk also says, that Hashem took the Bnei Yisrael out, goy mikarev goy. He says that means that it was the same nation. It was like the Jews were over the Avodah Zarah at the time too, and they had the blowers. That's the goy mikarev goy. It was the same nation, almost like we use the word goy colloquially today. It was the same people. They took them out of Mitzrayim. It was like the same people because they were similar to them. That's what they remembered, that they ate the food. Chinam means chinam in a mitzvos. Anyway, when it says hisavu tava, he says it means that they caused themselves greater taiva. They didn't want the man. The man made them spiritually better, but it obviously was not interesting to the guf. It had no, you know, it wasn't helpful. It didn't feel heavy like they wanted. And it was their teva, their bodies, preferred meat. And they didn't want the mun, which was good for their spirituality. And that was the taina. And of course, the pasuk goes on to tell us how the mun was really great. And it says, Laktu v'tachnu b'rechayim v'dachem b'mducha, and they cooked it. So Rabbeinu Bechai says, because you could, the mun, it's like some foods are good raw, some foods are good cooked, some goods are foods are good when they're diced. He said, mun's good anyway, you take it. It was good raw, it was good crushed, it was good cooked. Anyway, he gets it from the pasuk, v'laktu tachnu, in other words, that they were all, if you were just located and took it, it was good anyway, you took it. I think Chazal make a drasha that the more bigger tzaddik you were, the more less work you had to put into it, but that's what he says, that they were. It was the mud was good, every way. So when Hashem tells Moshe that you should tell the people to get ready to eat, he says that it will be for you, lazara, Zara is spelled Zion Reish Aleph. Rabbi Bechai says it should have been spelled Zion Reish Hey. I mean, it's going to be horrible for you, disgusting for you. But he says, anytime something should have been spelled with a hey and is spelled with an aleph, it means to tell you, like, a lot. So, like, Rus, it says Rus, when they said, are you Rus, in Megillas Rus, when Rus came back to Israel, and they said, are you Rus, that was the rich lady? And they said, no, don't call me Rus, because everything went bad for me. Call me Mara, she says, and it's spelled with an aleph, Memresh Aleph. So anytime a thing is supposed to be a hey and changes to an aleph, it means to say, like, super bad. So this is going to be super bad for you. The Zara with an aleph means to be super bad. Now the story about Moshe saying, how are you going to do this? And Hashem says, Hayad Hashem Tiktzer. It says Machlokes Rishonim about what this means. So Rashi says that it means, Moshe said, it's not nice, Hashem, you bring all this meat, and then they die a second later, it doesn't look nice. And Hashem says back, Hayad Hashem Tiktzer, let them all die, and it shouldn't be Chil Hashem, that they shouldn't say, I can't do it. That's Rashi's pshat. Ramban says something along the lines of that they weren't roy for an ace. So Moshe was asking, how can you do it? How are you, Hashem, going to do it? B'derech HaTeva. An ace is easy. How are you going to do it? B'derech HaTeva. And Hashem said back, I had Hashem Tiktzer, he could do it B'derech HaTeva too, using the wind. And Rabbeinu Bechai brings both those, as well as the Radak. The Radak says it's not enough meat for them because all the meat in the Midbar, you couldn't just eat meat in the Midbar. You had to bring it as a karban. You had to bring it to the Ohel Moed. And since that was true, it's not enough because people sometimes are tamei and they can't always eat it going to the Ohel Moed. So because of that, it wasn't enough. And then how are they going to have enough food? Because even with a lot of food, if they're tamei, it's not going to be enough. And Hashem said, Ayad Hashem Tiktzer. I'm not exactly sure I understand what the response is. What he writes is, Ani etin lechem basar shiaspik zulasi tun bakar v'dagim. Not sure what exactly that means here as an answer, but just, you could look at it yourself if you'd like. About Eldad and Medad, it says that they, Rabbeinu Bechai learns, like others do, that they didn't go because of they were anavim. They were incredibly humble, Eldad and Medad, and they didn't call. When Moshe said, gather me 70 people, so they knew two people weren't going to make it. So they said they were not right to be with this group, and they stayed home. And they got Nevuah anyway. So that means, Rabbeinu Bechai points out, that they got special Nevuah, because everybody else's Nevuah came from Moshe. It came to Moshe, and it kind of spilled over to all the others. But Eldad and Medad got their own special Nevuah outside the camp. And that's what, when Yehoshua said Klaim, Moshe said, oh, I wish everybody would be Nevi'im. That's what he meant by that, because they got their own special Nevuah. And he also says that they went into Eretz Yisrael. He said, Eldad and Medad nichnasul Eretz, Eldad was Elidad ben Kislon, and Medad was Kemuah ben Shaftan. He said they went into Eretz Yisrael, so they were better in that sense as well from the rest of the group. Getting to the end of the parsha with the story of Moshe and Miriam and the Lashon Hara. So the Rabbeinu Bechai says that Aaron also sinned, right? Others say this as well. But the Torah only mentions Miriam because she's the one that said the Lashon Hara, and therefore the Pasuk publicly called her out. Aaron just heard and didn't say anything, so he was punished as well. Not sure exactly in what way, but it says he was punished as well. And the Pasuk says, after they say that Moshe was anav ma'od. So Rabbeinu Bechai says, I mean, anav ma'od is teaching you that you're supposed to be, when it comes to anivos, ma'od. In other words, by all other midos, you're supposed to take the middle road. Anivos is one of the few that you're supposed to go to extremes. Be an extreme anav, it won't hurt you. You're supposed to do that. When it comes to being humble, you want to go to the extreme. And finally, it says that Moshe davened to Hashem for Miriam. And I think most of us don't even process these words when we say it. It says, Vayitzak Moshe el Hashem lemor kel narafan Allah. We see the word lemor, it doesn't even register for us because we're so used to Vayomer Hashem el Moshe lemor. But it has to make sense. So Rabbeinu Bechai asks, what in the world does this mean? It says, Vayitzak Moshe el Hashem lemor. So Rashi asks, Ma Talmud Lomer, but I think we don't appreciate the crux of the problem is that you don't say it over. When Hashem talked to Moshe to say it over, it meant to say it over the Jewish people. Here, this is Moshe davening to Hashem. What does it mean? Moshe cried out, Vayitzak Moshe el Hashem, to say it over? Well, what does that mean? Say it over to who? He's talking to Hashem. So Rabbeinu Bechai says it means that it's teaching you that you are supposed to say words when you daven. You can't. It's not good to just think davening to Hashem, you're supposed to actually make it come out of your lips. Daven with your lips, that the word should leave your lips. And that makes it more nachas ruach in front of the Ribono Shel Olam, when it comes, it's this, it, when it through your, comes out through ruach, it comes out through your full mouth. That's the way Hashem likes. It's more nachas ruach, and therefore, I guess they say you get more bang for your buck. You'll, your tefillah is more likely, I guess the right way to say it is your tefillah is more likely to be mekubal if you say it with your mouth.